Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I thank you for listening in, tuning in, whether you're listening on the radio or whether you're catching it on the website or whatever. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Very good. And I guess right away, Pat, you've got to chime in with a couple of great
things.
Well,
since we just finished celebrating Columbus Day, I did Columbus Day.
Not Indigenous
Peoples Day, as did Kamala. I have an article here called Kamala Running Hard for the Hate America Vote by Robert Spencer. Spencer's well known in anti-terrorist scholarship. Harris said this in 2021. It's an honor, of course, to be with you this week as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. It says, since 1934, every October, the United States has recognized the voyage of the European explorers who first landed on the shores of the Americas. But that is not the whole story. That has never been the whole story. Those explorers ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations, perpetrating violence, stealing land, and spreading disease. We must not shy away from this shameful past, and we must shed light on it and do everything we can to address the impact of the past on Native peoples today.
I want to make one comment about that. The Griswold Family Association does an annual meeting every year, usually somewhere near Wethersfield, Connecticut, because that's where they settled. And it's usually a history lesson. And one year we learned about the fact that when the early settlers came, they got along with most of the Indians, but there was one tribe of Indians that was raping and pillaging and not being very nice. And they were raping and pillaging Indians and settlers. They were non-discriminatory. So the settlers built a fort, what they called it, a palisadio. And some of the other Indian tribes were inside the fort with the settlers because that was where the safety was from this one marauding tribe. Finally, the Indians had had enough, and they asked the settlers to join them, and they attempted to wipe out the tribe. They did not wipe them out. They knocked them down pretty well. The tribe that they were that was doing the marauding and pillaging and et cetera now owns a casino in Connecticut. So they're still kind of pillaging. They're just doing it legally now. But the Indians did not get along with each other. They were not environmentalists. They polluted their land. They fought with each other. And when they polluted a piece of land, they just moved on to another part. And I have one more comment. How many countries in the world are populated by the people that were indigenous to the country?
Well, you know, Thomas Sowell, the famous black economist, he said, if we're going to start talking reparations for people overtaking other people's land, we're going to have to everybody pay everybody else reparations.
Yeah.
Unless the whole thing is maneuvered.
That's worldwide.
Well, Kamala just came out and said she's in favor of reparations.
Yes.
I mean, that's the last pandering to black people she can do that she hasn't already done.
Well, her ancestors were slave owners, so does she have to? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, one half of her family is from Jamaica and owns slaves. The other half is from India, which is based on a slave-based caste society.
Yeah.
So she's got a lot of nerve to be seeking to lead a country that she has just told us was founded by a bunch of murderers, land stealers, diseased, violent non-entities. Why would she even want to lead this country if that's what she thinks of Americans?
And I think that's part of the problem, Pat, with the left. The left always looks at what's wrong with this country. You never hear them talking about the good things that have happened to the people in this country and how our form of government has allowed the highest standard of living, the most freedom for any country that's ever existed. And they always point out the negative things. In every country, you can go back to every country, you can find something that they didn't do right. It's like individuals. There's no individual other than maybe Jesus, let's assume, not maybe, nobody but him, that was perfect. Okay, the rest of us all have flaws. Countries all have flaws. But the left always wants to focus on what America's done wrong with the native, or what they assume we did wrong with the native tribes, with slavery, all of which we corrected. And but that's typical of the left, is to point that out. And, you know, you look back historically, like you were saying, Mary, the Indians weren't innocent, utopian, peace-loving individuals. They had slaves. One tribe would fight another. They'd kill off all the men, and they would kill, unless they were young boys, they might keep them. They would capture the women, enslave them, and so they did a lot of negative things. And I'm not saying that the white people treated them properly all the time, but then again, the Indian tribes were not. You know, they were no angels either. They instituted a lot of the conflict.
You're saying there was no United Nations amongst them.
No, absolutely
not. Well, you can't
not.
Steal land from people that don't claim to own it.
Well, they didn't understand the concept of selling land, which was part of the problem. But also, if you go into the South American indigenous people, you have human sacrifice. You have all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, if you want to get like that, whatever happened to the Huns? Where did they go?
Ah, the Huns.
Or the Anglo-Saxons. Where are they? I mean,
the Vikings.
You know, what happened to, you know, countries change.
They're all reincarnated in Grand Theft Auto.
That's probably true.
You know, and you look back at what Harris does, the hypocrisy, which is because on one side of the, on one hand, she'll say, We need to look forward. Don't look back. She's trying to, kind of like put a barrier between what she wants to do and what Biden's done. Right. We don't want to be encumbered by the past. And now she's talking about reparations. She's talking about, so there's no consistency in what she said. She will say, it's like Bernie Sanders said when they asked Bernie Sanders about why Kamala Harris's positions have changed so much over the last couple of years. And he came out and said, she'll say whatever she needs to get elected. He wasn't being critical. He was just being descriptive.
Yeah, he was just
he would just say, that's what you do to get elected.
Right.
You just say what you have to say.
Well, Kamala was on The View just recently.
Yes.
And she told the truth for once. Oops. They asked her, what would you have done differently in the last 4 years? And she said, nothing comes to mind, but yet she's running a campaign of change, way forward, we're not going back.
Yeah.
That's not consistent.
But you are. You're what back is you. You can't go back to yourself. I mean, how does that work?
Okay. Pat, you had other things that you wanted to bring out.
I had a couple of remarks on our universities. You know, I always like to keep an eye, since I was in academia for a while, I like to keep an eye on it. Lewis and Clark College, we all know who Lewis and Clark were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we studied history.
Well, they
were old enough to have studied history.
They
before.
Went. Did they go and invade the Indian land? Okay, so.
Maybe. Any rate, Lewis and Clark College no longer wants to be a pioneer, so their mascot is Pioneer. So they're going to adopt a new mascot.
What is it?
We don't know yet.
Oh. Well, you talk about mascots. The Washington Commanders are being sued by the Indian chief, who was the model for the Washington Redskins.
they're beginning, yeah, they're beginning their process.
In other words, he not only didn't take offense at
He
liked it. That's what I had heard at the time, but they were talking about this. There's a lot of the Native Americans who liked the idea that they weren't offended by the term Redskins.
A lot of pride behind that.
Yeah, there were. You know.
And one of our kids made the comment that the only real name for the team should be the Washington Sentinels. And if that draws a blank, it's from a movie called The Replacements.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes. Well, they were the Washington Sentinels in that movie.
I like Keanu Reeves. He was good in that movie.
Yes, he was.
And if you watch the specials, the extras on the disc, where they choreographed the football moves.
The plays, yeah.
The plays. There was this one guy that was involved in the choreography, and he said that Keanu threw, even though he's left-handed, threw well enough that some of the teams might have wanted to take a look at him. He said, but he didn't want to take those hits. Who would? If you're a big Hollywood star, you want a lineman falling on you? I don't think so.
Now, you also had...
Oh, and okay. So Lewis and Clark. Okay. Kent State... University, we all remember Kent State because we're old enough to remember. They have this semester 150 classes on queer theory.
Oh.
150 classes.
150 and this is going to help our students compete with China. How?
150 classes. They're scattered throughout various disciplines. Like some will be in the English department, some in history, etc.
So many areas will be infected.
Well, you know, I created a class called Law in the Movies, and if you want to create a class to add to the book that has all the classes in it that have been formally adopted, you have to go in front of an academic committee and have to convince them that your class is different and it meets these rigorous. And so I went with our department head. At one point, he writes, they were asking me questions, and I was answering them, and he writes me a note, stop talking. Okay, so he could answer the questions. We got the class approved, but it just makes me wonder what kind of rigorous process they're going through where they end up with 150. That's a lot of academia administratia, if you know what I'm saying, to get 150 classes approved for various queer theology, queer and, movie making, well, queer fiction writing.
How many credit hours are some of these classes? I mean, you
three.
Know, so you graduate with 127
right.
credits and
right.
And
how does this help our kids compete with China?
And three or four of them are based on Bach beer. I know that.
Well, if you're getting degree in queer theory.
Okay. Folks, on that.
I don't really care about China.
We're going to have to escape for just a few seconds, but I'm going to ask you to listen to our sponsors and supporters, and thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We really, really appreciate having them helping us with this show. Pat, you wanted to add?
I wanted to talk. I have been keeping track of how many stores and businesses are closing under Bidenomics, because every time I see that clip of in the political ad, Bidenomics is working.
Now you're by the way, you're I think you're talking only about major chain stores, not the little mom and pop
shops.
No,
not little mom and pop. This is what's made the business pages. Walgreens announces plan to close 1,200 stores over the next 3 years. True Value Hardware files for bankruptcy, is aiming to be sold by the end of the year to its rival Do It Best, whom I've never heard of. Have you heard of them?
No,
me neither. Rue 21, a well-known teen apparel store, is shutting down. They're going to close all 540 of their stores soon. They filed for bankruptcy this Thursday. At its peak, Rue 21 boasted 1,200 locations. Applebee's is closing several of their restaurants. Applebee's and IHOP, I guess, are together now, have announced plans to close several Applebee's locations. We're expecting 25 to 35 net fewer domestic Applebee's restaurants. But he added that 25 new IHOP restaurants are slated to open. Still, if you work at Applebee's, that can't be a happy thing to hear. 7-Eleven is on tap to close nearly 450 stores nationwide.
Wow.
Wow.
And when I read the article, read the comment on the article was, have you ever walked into a 7-Eleven and looked around and thought, this is a store that's barely staying in business? No. You've never thought that. I mean, 7-Eleven is an institution.
And they always have, you always have a bunch of people in the store.
Yeah.
And you always have the thing that you actually need at 11 o'clock at night available in that store.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go for gas and buy some other stuff. But, you know, what's ironic about it, Pat, is the stock market keeps going up, up, up. It keeps setting a record after record record, and then you get information like you just reported, mm-hmm. and the manufacturing is down, the stores are closing, restaurants are closing, and then you wonder, well, how can the stock market continue to go up with all this negative news?
It's riding on the news that Trump's going to win.
Could be.
That is very possible.
Every time they announce that, you know, this state has flipped, this blue state has flipped, stock market goes up. So I think between now and November 5th, the stock market is going to be up or down depending on which candidate is perceived to be up or down.
But you would hope that at some point, though, that the stock market would be reflecting
the stock market's for the future.
I know, but what I'm saying is usually it's a function of what's going on in the economy to some extent. Otherwise, it's just completely, you know.
It's also controlled very much by institutionalized trading. The day of the individual stockholder versus the retirement plans and everything else, it's very different now than it was, say, 40 years ago.
Well, they were talking, you know, talking about the restaurants closing. There was a little conversation on one of the talk shows the other day about why so few people are going out to eat anymore. And if you look at the prices, if you go out, like my wife and I went out and just for lunch a couple of weeks ago, and we spent, like, it cost us like 60 some odd dollars to go out for lunch. And we don't go out to eat very often, but the price of food and what it costs to keep a restaurant operational mm-hmm. is so high that there's a lot of people just can't afford to go out to eat anymore. You know, and it's got to impact eventually on the economy,
especially if you have a family and you're trying to bring. Yeah.
Well, even you know, I live alone and I'm on a I don't want to cook binge, so I've been eating out a lot. And if you eat in a restaurant as opposed to eating through drive-through, if you eat in a restaurant, you're looking at $30. Yeah. Easy. Yeah.
And the thing that I think
per
we
person,
should remember
per person, right?
For
per
just
person.
Me, so 30
have,
bucks.
Like Bob said, if you have four people, yeah. you have two adults and a couple of children, you're talking about $100 to go out to dinner.
I sat in Applebee's one night and saw a family come in, little kids, you know, big, for these days, a big group, because like you said, there's fewer children now, so you don't normally see them out in a restaurant.
True.
And I wondered how they could afford that.
The other thing, considering where we live, that I think our listeners should keep in mind is we have a lot of local restaurants that are not chained, that are individually owned. And I think if we're going to go out to eat at all, we need to support our local small business restaurants.
I would agree. Now, the one I'm going to bring in the exception, folks. Now, here we're recording this show for broadcast on the 19th and 20th.
Okay? Oh, yes.
But coming up on the 24th, Chick-fil-A in New Bern will reopen.
I'm not a Chick-fil-A fan. I don't get it, but it's not my pleasure.
A lot of people do, though, because you know, where they're located, right on MLK, Martin Luther King Boulevard, you'd be driving down past them, and it'd be a line of cars, not only in the parking lot, coming out of the side road, then out onto the main road, they would be lined up. Now, they've reconfigured the parking.
That's what they're trying to fix a little bit more.
So hopefully, but nope. they are very popular, and they do strict still, I think, have that, but they're not open on Sunday, right?
Yes.
They're not open on Sunday. Christian-owned, family-owned, whatever.
You know, now we just came back from a quick visit up in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, and the Chick-fil-A up in Massachusetts in Attleboro, I mean, it's the double.
The line is around the block.
Yeah. The line is around the block. Double lane ordering, fulfillment.
Very successful.
The other thing that impressed me, we stopped at a rest area in northern to central New Jersey. I don't know exactly where it was. And the prices at the Chick-fil-A were the same as they were in other places, because a lot of times when you go into a rest area, they'll boost their prices because they're the only game in town. And no, they held their price. And I was impressed by that.
Well, you know, when you start showing your age like I'm about to do, you know, you always think back, well, then what things used to cost years ago. And I remember one of my first jobs was working a hamburger joint. The hamburgers were 15 cents a piece.
Yeah.
French fries were a dime. A drink was a dime. So you could go, you'd have families come in, they'd feed their whole family for like $2. You know, and of course the salaries were less than I know it's inflation.
Yeah.
But still, this has gone way beyond what the salaries have changed. And people are just struggling more. It's just the reality of it. And fortunately, some of the younger people are realizing that.
Yes.
And there's been some people switching more towards the conservative area because they realize that the high taxes and the cost of living is, they just can't get ahead.
No, can't really get the foot in the door. Pat, did you have anything on Fanny Gate?
We have a Fanny Gate, and for those of you who may have forgotten or never understood what Fanny Gate, the term Fanny Gate means, Fanny Willis is the Fulton County, Georgia attorney, district attorney, who has filed that humongous RICO case against Trump and 18 other people. She's the one with the infamous boyfriend, Nathan Wade. One of the defendants in the RICO case filed a motion to have the case thrown out and to have Fannie and Nate thrown out because of the conflict of interest. And we're still resonating on that. Well, during the when the hoo-ha started about the business between she and he, because if you recall, she paid him over $700,000 in taxpayer funds to be a prosecutor on the Trump case, even though the man barely had any prosecutorial experience. Most of his experience was traffic tickets, which doesn't really prepare you to lead a complicated RICO case with multiple defendants, particularly when one of them is a former president. At any rate, she was paying him all this money, and then he was taking her on these fancy trips, on vacation trips, and they were saying that it was a pay-for-play basic thing where she siphoned him the money, and then he used the money to take her on these trips. So that has been kicked up to a Georgia appeals court, so that's still waiting. She's being investigated by the Congress for potential misuse of federal funds. Her office was given a ginormous grant to open a gang prosecution unit, which she never opened, and they're suspecting that some of that $700,000 that she paid Nate, or what's his name? Wade. Wade, I'm sorry. It's Nathan Wade, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
Nathan Wade, yeah. Keep calling him Nate.
Getting familiar with you. You've been reporting on this too long.
Pat. Yeah.
You're starting to use little nicknames for
right,
the character.
Right, right. By the way, when Fannie's daughter got arrested, Fannie showed up with Nathan, her boyfriend, who she testified under oath that was no longer her boyfriend. just a click for her credibility here. At any rate, she has been subpoenaed by the congressional committee that wants to investigate the potential misuse of federal funds, and she's basically told them to go climb a rope. She's refused to cooperate, prompting Jim Jordan, who's heading the committee, to threaten her with contempt of Congress. Her boyfriend hid from the subpoena servers, and they were going to send the U.S. Marshals out for him. He finally showed up, took the subpoena, and he just testified. 4.5 hours, closed door session. His attorney said, "We did it. It's over. We're done." She told Nathan, "Do not tell them anything about this case. They have no right to know." I suspect he told them something about the case in the course of 4.5 hours. I'm just spitballing here, since it's closed door. We don't know what he said or didn't say. But that's our Fanny. That's our Fanny Gate. She's still waiting. Because somewhere in Georgia, they're investigating her as well over those taxpayer-funded legal fees.
Wow, folks, that's it. That's it for the daytime soap opera continue to watch called Fanny Gate. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Pat, you wanted to add another?
I wanted to talk about a moment from the hurricane coverage for Milton that we just saw. And we all saw the picture of that poor dog that had been chained to the fence and was standing in water up to almost up to its belly and was just left there to drown. And the officer saved the dog. In fact, it's in an animal control. The tweet in the article said it's been adopted, but it had a picture of the owner. They found the owner. He's been charged with animal cruelty. And, you know, Governor DeSantis said, if you do this kind of stuff, we will hold you accountable. And one of the things I like about him is if he tells you he's going to do it, he's going to do it. But speaking of hurricanes, and this is kind of tweaking our order of topics here is, I know, Bob, that you're a ham radio.
Yeah, radio amateur. Yeah.
Amateur operator, and that you belong to a group of ham radio operators here.
Yeah, there's a New Bern radio club.
And my dad was big on ham radio. And at one point, since I was in signals intelligence, at one point I decided maybe I'd get my ham radio license. Because when I was stationed in Hawaii, one of the groups that worked for me were the Diddy Bops. And you know what Diddy Bops are? Diddy, 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 diddy. Yeah. I thought it would be fun. This was in Hawaii. I thought it would be fun to start a ham radio club in Hawaii because, you know, and during hurricanes, the whole island can go down and has. So at any rate, because one of the things I learned preparing for a ham radio license was that you guys are big in the disaster business, that when, you know, conventional communications go down and disaster supplies need to be routed or disaster help needs to be routed, it's good to have the ham radio operators. So I found that article in there, and I was just wondering if you would let our listeners know what's going on with ham radio operators here, and what do you know about what they've done in the Milton?
Well, when Helene came through, I'm going to pick on Helene. When Helene came through in western North Carolina, there is a repeater at the top of Mount Mitchell. That's 6,000 feet up. And that repeater generally is an area repeater. A repeater that's a couple of hundred feet up, yes, you'll have.
Explain what a repeater is.
A repeater is, let's say you have a 2-meter transceiver. 2-meter or 440 transceiver. Your signal often goes to a repeater and then is bounced off to anybody else that wants to listen to it. So they listen, the repeater listens on one frequency and then rebroadcasts exactly what you have on a slightly different frequency. So people can chatter with one another. Well, that repeater up on top of Mount Mitchell, because of its location, was very, very useful in this this past disaster out there. I listened to a station. The station on Broadcastify.com is the whoever broadcasts it on the internet, and W4HTP, I believe, is the call letters of the station. Well, there were radio amateurs all around the area. First off, all the cell towers are knocked out. If a cell tower is not even knocked out, but the dish is just angled and a couple of degrees, all of a sudden it's only got 2 or 3% of its abilities, and all the power was knocked out. Well, I was listening to what's called the network controller, which is an individual that's sort of taking command of what's going on, listening to people calling in. We have wellness checks. We found people in areas that need medical help, physical help to get out, or people that need the help, other people reporting in that we have resources over here. We've got gas available, got enough power to give the gas. And the biggest one was, hey, we have a working cash machine. So, and at other stores, yes, we have a working credit card machine. And those were very valuable resources when nobody has cash.
I don't have a lot of cash laying around my house.
No. So they were doing a lot in wellness checks. People were coming in and saying, I can't get anybody on the cell phone. Yeah, well, we'll make the wellness call for you to so-and-so that you are okay and you're in the area. And Pat, you were saying that the publicized the New Bern Amateur Radio Club meets on the first Monday night of each month in Moore's Barbecue in New Bern, and in the evening, and then the side room, 6 o'clock.
What time? 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock, yeah. And we're talking a bit about what's going on with the club. By the way, there's going to be representation out at the state fair for amateur radio. Pat, you had mentioned that the average age of amateur radio's enthusiasts are 68 right mm-hmm. now.
That's what the article said.
And I know that the article quickly talks about Parks on the Air, which is a new thing that somebody will go out with a portable operation and set it up, and they'll try to do as much communication as they can from one of the officially numbered parts. POTA is what they're doing there. Well, the point being that when the electricity's out and whatever else, you've got handhelds that these folks are able to communicate. And like I said, the network controller was very, very good at keeping track of who made the call, who needs to be responsible for following up, and did a great job of detailing all that, great dispatching.
Mm-hmm.
And there still are groups that will physically send a radio message from one coast of the United States to the other coast. Totally, the process is to actually repeat the message word for word for word, so that it's not, there's no, the old game of telephone where you have no idea what was originally said with the answer. But this is an objective to send it word for word so you know exactly what was sent. And it's a lot of fun.
Just an aside, what does HAM stand for? Ham radio. I mean, I've heard that for now all my life. What does HAM, HAM, stand for?
Now you're asking a hard question.
Even the ham operators don't know. Maybe they need to change the title. They might get more interest. Yeah. Ham radio. You think of something to eat.
Well, I know Hiram. I can't think of his last name right now, but who founded the ARRL. I mean, he was Hiram, might be his initials, but
I don't know.
But Alan, you wanted to bring up something.
Yeah, I had found out something I heard on the radio. It was one of the TV stations a couple of weeks ago, and they were reporting groups in the country that had a low propensity or likelihood to actually get out and vote. And one of the groups was gun owners and hunters. And being a gun owner myself, I don't hunt much anymore, but I was shocked to hear that, because you would think of any group that would have a vested interest in ensuring that their constitutional right is not violated would be gun owners, because they are under
constant assault,
constant efforts to control them, and so on and so forth. And I took the opportunity to go to one of the local gun clubs about a week and a half ago, and made a little presentation about it. And I hopefully encourage people in that club to get out and vote. And I hope anybody who's listening to this broadcast who's a gun owner will take that to heart, that you need to get out and vote. And I did have the opportunity at that meeting to show what will happen if the Harris gets elected and they implement, or she implements, the things that they've done in California. For example, in California, every gun you have has to be registered, which is not the case in North Carolina. In California, you cannot carry a weapon unconcealed. In North Carolina, you can. When you want to carry a gun concealed, you have to have a permit. They don't have a castle doctrine. A castle doctrine gives you more flexibility or freedom to protect yourself in the event somebody's breaking in your home and so on and so forth. They don't have that in California. They also have limitations on the number of rounds you could put in a magazine and a couple other things. And then you have, of course, Kamala Harris coming out and years ago supporting the idea of a mandatory buyback program on what they define as an assault rifle. Now, you know, the whole issue of what's an assault rifle is interesting, because Tampon Tim the other day was demonstrating, he was trying to demonstrate that he was familiar with firearms and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
so they took
that.
A picture. Do you see that? He was out of range, I guess it was in the range.
Yeah, when he used to shoot crap.
And then he had his weapon there, and apparently it was a semi-automatic shotgun, and he couldn't figure out how to load it. And that was supposedly, he was familiar with guns and so on, and that would be defined under a lot of these definitions, anything that's semi-automatic. That, so he had an assault weapon. Technically, if you define it as semi-automatic, but again, getting back to the main issue, if you own a gun, you're a hunter, you need to get out and vote if you want to protect not only your gun rights, but the other rights, because the Constitution, part of the importance of the Second Amendment is protecting the other amendments.
That's right.
So I'm just encouraging everybody, get out and vote. If you're not registered, go to early vote. You can register and vote the same day.
Alan, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you, but I'm just going to ask it. How could you be in the National Guard for 29 years and not know how to handle a gun?
That is a very good question. There's a lot of things that he alleges that he's skilled at or has
well,
done
I have no doubt.
That are questionable. But
I have no doubt he was in the National Guard for 29 years. I mean, he said that.
Well, guns can vary as to how you load them and so on and so forth. I understand that. But,
yeah, I don't think
but
that.
He was bragging about he was a pheasant hunter and he was one of the better.
And
that was his weapon. I mean, something.
Yeah.
It was his choice. Yeah.
His choice weapon. He couldn't even load it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very strange.
What, did you see the video of him changing the carburetor?
No,
he actually changed an air filter. He was trying to make it like, yeah, I work on cars too, because I'm a guy.
Yeah, I'm a man.
I got this.
I'm not Timmy the tampon Tim.
Hold my beer and watch this. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to head off to what's going on in Israel.
The Biden-Harris administration has threatened to cut off military aid to Israel unless humanitarian conditions improve in Gaza. And I just want to point out that it seems to me if you want the humanitarian conditions to improve in Gaza, if they would release the hostages, I have a feeling things would improve very quickly, because the citizens, the innocent civilians that we keep hearing about, are the ones that are keeping the hostages in their houses. When they have rescued hostages, they have rescued them from people's houses. Excuse me. In one case, a hostage was rescued from a reporter's house. And we're supposed to believe that that was an objective reporter. So the whole thing is bogus.
I don't get the feeling that our government gives a hoot about our hostages.
Well, some of them are Americans.
That's what I mean, about our hostages.
Yes.
American hostages. I haven't heard anybody from the White House speak to their condition or any efforts that we're taking on their behalf. It's like it's a non-issue.
and it's been over a year.
Yeah.
And they're not even counting days.
I mean, their primary focus is obviously on the getting the vote of Muslim Americans in Michigan and other states. And I think that's part of what's going on. But my understanding was a lot of the supposedly humanitarian aid, well, first of all, it was abused from the standpoint that the money was used to purchase rockets and ammunition and so on, right from the beginning. Okay?
Build tunnels.
But more recently, with the the humanitarian aid in the form of food and so on going into Gaza that was being sabotaged or being taken by the Hamas terrorists, and they were using it, taking it away from the civilians. And I think that's probably some reason why Israel may have been restricting the flow. They couldn't guarantee it was going to where it was supposed to go.
No, and you know, regardless of how much they gripe that we need the food, it was never getting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the as silly little phrase is, how come they run out of food and water and never run out of rockets?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know this whole thing, it brings up what's gone on, you know, since our last show with the whole issue about how is Israel going to respond back towards Iran for all that rocket attack they had, where they sent 180 yeah. ballistic missiles towards Israel. Thank God they had that Iron Dome that intercepted most of them, if not all of them. But the issue is because the Biden administration is still telling Israel, do not attack, do not strike their nuclear facilities, and do not strike their oil fields.
Well, Israel has said that it is going to strike the military and rocket targets.
Yeah, well, I personally think this is the exact time to hit the nuclear sites. And that's not only going to be for the good of Israel. It's going to be good for the good of the entire Western civilization, because they are determined, they meaning the extremists in Iran, you know, the Ayatollah and his group, that they are determined to use nuclear weapons to destroy and attack Western civilization, starting off with Jews. But, you know, when they get the capability of sending those rockets into Europe and potentially to the United States, who's going to stop them from using it? Does anybody trust that they would not use it?
Or using it as a threat. There was a cybersecurity attack on the Iranian nuclear program last week. There has been another one.
Well, this is the opportunity for them to destroy it. They ought to hit them and hit them hard.
I agree.
One of the things, speaking about wars, if we could just take a second to talk about Ukraine. I heard, I think it was this morning on the news, that Zelensky has come out with some conditions by which he would accept some sort of a negotiated settlement. And one of those things, and this he hasn't announced all these, but this is kind of like where he appears to be heading. One of the requirements would be that Ukraine be accepted as a member of NATO.
Oh.
And that's a precondition for him.
And that's the problem.
That is the problem. And I believe, based on what he wants also, permission from the United States to use the weapons we give him to penetrate deeper and deeper into Russia. And that was one of the requirements, too. I think he's trying. I believe he knows that he cannot win a war of attrition with Russia.
Of course not.
Okay? It's Russia's overwhelmingly larger and okay. I think what he's trying to do is draw the United States and the West into that fight with Russia. And if we allow that to happen, we are really right on the verge of World War III.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
You don't keep poking the bear. I wrote that article they called Poking the Bear about what happens when you take a nuclear superpower, which we have carefully avoided any sort of direct conflict with Russia, mm-hmm. since they got nuclear weapons and we had nuclear weapons, because it would just lead to mutual destruction. And now we have Zelensky trying to pull us in, because I believe that's the only way he sees of winning, of getting anything that they could accept. And
well, the irony with that whole thing is that Ukraine joining NATO was one of the things that triggered that war, because Russia did not want NATO right on its doorstep. The other problem there is there are parts of Ukraine, Crimea I believe is one, that are predominantly Russian. So you have kind of a problem there in terms of exactly what Zelensky wants. And the other part of it, too, is how much of the money that is going to Ukraine is actually going to defend it. And as you say, they cannot win a war of attrition against Russia.
And I think the only logical outcome of this situation is to duplicate what happened in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We had North Korea was invaded, and then we wound up now. And in fact, the war in Korea was never actually settled. It was just a ceasefire, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been maintained. So they gave up part of the country. Part of the country is communist. Part of it is free. And I think that's what we're going to have to accept in Ukraine to get this over, to keep it from escalating into something worse.
Speaking of North Korea, I saw an article with a picture of them blowing up rail lines and roads leading from the south.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go from here to a little bit about what is going on in Aurora, Colorado, because I think that's important. A Venezuelan gang has taken over an apartment building. Evidently, that is not the only apartment building they have taken over. And the true story of it was posted on Twitter. I don't remember where the original... Do you have the article, Pat?
The one that I printed out and brought with me is from Red State.
Okay. And if you go to redstate.com, they have the Twitter feed and the commentary that will tell you the whole story from the beginning.
The article's name is Aurora, Colorado Property Management Firm Sets Record Straight. Venezuelan gangs took over. Government did nothing.
Yes. And that's dangerous.
In fact, the government has blamed the property management firm for not properly managing their property.
Well, I think this whole issue with these gangs that are fighting now in Chicago, you have a Venezuelan gang that's apparently going up against the existing gang that was been in Chicago for years. But I think part of what needs to be done, and I hope that Trump and if we get a Congress that'll go along with this and the Senate, they need to initiate a law that no person in this country can possess a firearm unless you're a citizen or you're here legally. I could probably go along with that. But I think it should be reserved for citizens.
You know, the issue came up in front of the judge, and the judge says you can't keep guns from the illegals.
Well, you need a law to get that done, or you need to change the Constitution, one or the other, because we have all these illegals coming in. They're walking around with guns. They do it right in the open. Everyone who can be identified with a weapon, if you had such a law, they should be arrested and immediately deported.
No. Alan, I don't mean to be difficult.
But you will be anyway?
Yeah. We know from experience that gun laws don't work because criminals ignore them. So your idea of immediately arresting and deporting is the only thing that will work.
Well,
The penalty needs to be enforced.
Yeah. Yes.
The penalty needs to be deportation and no readmission at any time for any reason. You have a gun, you're violating the gun. Because otherwise, you know, what we're doing is letting these people run wild with firearms. They're taking over apartments. What else are they going to take over?
Come on now. It's only a handful of apartments.
And unfortunately, if you take away their guns, they'll use knives.
Rather a knife than a gun, thank you.
Well, I think J.D. Vance did a good job when he said to Martha Raddatz, "Do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment buildings?"
I mean,
how many apartment buildings would be okay, Martha?
Would you say that about anything else? Well, they only burned down a handful of towns. You know, yeah. Okay. Folks, we're going to end the show. There's many more things that we could go on with, but we're going to have to end the show. Thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. See you next week.